Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us today. Hope your day is going well. Well, your plants can be happier with you if you water them correctly, and a device in which you can use is the tree diaper.
Yeah, tree diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases water around the base of any tree or plant as the soil dries. The tree diaper is filled with water from rain and when you water, and slowly releases water over 3 weeks. Every time it rains, the tree diaper recharges. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Water your plants and trees, whether they're by the house, down the road, or in the back 40. Also works under mulch. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, tree diaper will improve the way you water your plants. Made in the USA, check out all the sizes they have available. TreeDiaper.com, that's TreeDiaper.com.
Everybody knows, you know, when you say, what's in a garden? Tomatoes, peppers, potatoes, beans. However, there are many, many different and uncommon vegetables in which one can grow in their garden, whether in containers in the backyard or the front yard. We're going to go over a handful of them that we have grown and grown successfully, and many of them in which we still grow year after year.
I have to argue one of these, by the way.
Okay, I think the one is going to be celery?
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, okay.
We'll get there.
Okay. So let's start with a very uncommon one, which we have kind of brought to light and several other YouTubers have brought to light, is called yacons.
I'd say probably about 10 years ago it was very uncommon.
Yeah, Y-A-C-O-N is the singular term, and this is a root crop from South America. We got our starts from a nursery up in the Oregon, Central Oregon area, but in 2014, they no longer sell those yacon starts, and we've saved the rhizomes year after year. Now, it's taken many years in order to learn about this plant in the way in which we have. We have many videos on our YouTube channel and then also our website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. Just search yacon and you'll see all of those. And it's a root crop that...
To me, it's like a less starchy potato.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say
watery.
Watery. Some people say it has a sweet flavor. To me, it just tastes like a less starchy potato.
It depends on, you know, who's tasting it. It's a watermelon apple cross taste. To me, it's a very watery potato. It's a little sweet. It looks like sweet potatoes when you dig them up in the fall.
It's kind of fun.
You plant them at the time. You treat them just like you would tomatoes. They're frost tender in the spring. And however, you can let them grow all the way till the first frost, which will kill the vertical, the above ground growth. And then you harvest the tubers. You dig them up and then you harvest the tubers and you save the rhizomes in sand. And we keep them in our stairwell, the attic, where it keeps it very chilled, but never frozen. And that's how we are able to carry on year after year. You start your rhizomes about 90 days before you intend to put them in the ground, and we just start them in party cups, and then we can transfer them over in the ground very easily. They get 4 to 6 feet tall. Here in southeast Wisconsin, where we're located, they will grow and produce about 3 to 5 pounds per plant. Now in South America, where it's much more a long growth season, they can be 15 to 30 pounds per plant. And if they are grown for 6 months, they will produce a flower. However, we've gotten about 5.5 months in 2016. We had a tremendously long season, but we never did. And that year we got almost 7 pounds average of plant, so it worked
out
really.
Yeah, that was crazy. We were harvesting stuff out of the garden like right before Thanksgiving.
So you can find yacon plants online. You have to do a little research. You can potentially find the rhizomes, but right now I think probably the plant starts is going to be your best bet if you want to go that route. Something that is more common, easier to get a hold of, is the next one on our list.
Yeah, the Jerusalem artichoke, also known as a sunchoke or the sunroot or the earth apple. And it's part of the sunflower family, and it's native to Central North America. It's a perennial, which means it comes back year after year. It's one of the few perennial vegetables out there, and it can be semi-invasive. It does spread a little bit, not insane, but it does spread a little bit. And they're fun to grow. They grow this huge, long, not a huge flower, but a long stalk,
eight to 12 feet tall.
Yeah, and then it grows pretty flowers, kind of like yellowy flowers. And they are a root vegetable. They are also like a more earthy, watery potato.
Mm-hmm. And they will produce about 5 to 8 pounds per plant, anywhere from the size of a tiny marble to almost a baseball, tennis ball, baseball to root that you eat. And you can, and we'll go back to what we do with the yacons because we forgot to cover what you do with them. The Jerusalem artichokes, what we have found is we can put them in stews, soups, roast, and they get a very buttery taste to them. Also, now I have found that you can peel them and put them in like a casserole, and they really the skin seems to have a very tart taste or earthy taste to it. Once you remove that skin, it's almost indistinguishable to a potato.
We made like hash browns.
We've made hash browns. We have tried to pickle them. We've done many different things with them. We now have also found you take them, clean them up, leave the skin on them, and we're going to try this without the skin. Chop them into thin chip-like pieces, coat them with olive oil, put them in the air fryer for about 5 to 10 minutes until they're crisp, and they are very close to French fries. So we can do that. We're going to try it without the skin. I think you'll like it much, much more without the skin than with the skin.
I'm being a doubter over here.
Yacons. Yeah, let's go back to what you do with the yacons.
You can do pretty much, I think, anything you want to do with a potato. And then we also made a yacon pie.
That didn't turn out so well. but I found that you dehydrate them in chip form. Incredibly delicious. You have to peel them first.
Okay.
The skin has that texture, that really earthy dirt flavor. Even if you scrub it off, you take that skin off, works really well. We also have blanched them and freeze them. And whatever you can do, like if you're going to make an apple pie, you take a quarter of the apples, if it takes 4 cups of apples, I'm just picking a number, you do 3 cups of apples and 1 cup of yacons, and that yacon will absorb the cinnamon flavor and the apples, and you won't know that you had put yacons in there. So there's many different things in which you can do with the yacon, extending your palate. And you can also bake them in the crock pot for 8 hours like you would a baked potato. Best thing you ever did eat. Okay. Best thing you ever did eat.
Okay.
Akkas. We tried this a couple of years. It worked very well. However, the life of the growing time is incredibly long. You start the tubers. Yeah, they're little bright pink, yellow, white, blue, black.
They're pretty.
About the size of.
I don't remember what they tasted like, though.
They were very sweet.
Oh, yeah, they were really sweet.
They're about the size of, I would say, like a double A battery. It's kind of what you're looking at the roots being at planting. Yeah. And then you plant them at the same time you would typically the potatoes in your area. And you let them grow all the way to frost. And they say from the night that it frost the first time, they almost double in size the next day underground. Well, for us, you have to kind of keep them alive, and we harvest in the first week in December. Now, if you're anywhere in the northern portions of the United States, you know the first week in December can be very iffy, whether you have a foot of snow on the ground or you have 80-degree temperatures.
I want to say 80. But yeah.
Warm.
Warm.
The likelihood of snow is much, much more higher than anything else. But explain what the description of an akka is.
So with its distinctive leaf shape, it's easy to recognize the akka as a member of the wood sorrel family. The leaves can be eaten in moderation. Akka tubers are rich in vitamin C. They can be eaten raw or cooked or exactly the same way as a potato. And you plant them in the spring and the tubers form in early fall. So it is a spring to fall vegetable.
Right. So those are a little harder to get a hold of, though there's a lot of videos online. We've got a couple of videos online in our platforms. It's something that if you've got the time and you can really, protect these later on in the season from those heavy, heavy snows that some of us get in those time frames, it would be something to look forward to. Now, the next thing is anybody
– This is the one.
This is the one that you're questioning.
No, I'm not questioning it. It depends on your region.
Okay.
But it's kohlrabi.
Uh-huh.
And kohlrabi is part of the kohl family, which is part of the brassica family. Mm-hmm. And it's related to like cauliflower, broccoli.
Cauliflower, Brussels sprout, cabbage.
Brussels sprouts, all of that. Cabbage. Probably, I would say it's close to cabbage in the taste.
Yeah.
But a lot of German people in the region here in Wisconsin, they like kohlrabi, and they're familiar with kohlrabi. And I've had coworkers who are like, "Do you have any extra kohlrabi? Can you bring me some kohlrabi?" So I think it's regional.
It's a very alien-like looking thing. It's got a small stem with a baseball-size harvestable item on top of it with a lot of leaves coming off of that baseball-looking top. It comes in a couple of different colors. It comes in a green outer green, where they call white, and then a burgundy color. Burgundy takes 50 days. I think the white or the green takes like 60 days. And it's a solid it's solid flesh inside of it.
Right. I think it tastes, I would say, between like, it tastes like a turnip slash cabbage.
Mm-hmm. You can pickle these. You can fry these up. Now, the interesting aspect of a kohlrabi is the leaves of the kohlrabi, which are edible, are three times more nutrient dense than the actual kohlrabi itself. So keep that in mind. So kohlrabi, if you've not grown it, you can start it from seed. You can get it from, you know, many nurseries have the starts, and they can get baseball, even softball size. Now, with that, the larger it gets, the more woodier it becomes. So if you can get it around the tennis ball, I know you would, you know, think, oh, the larger it grows, the more material I have to work with. However, it's not always the case. It can get woody and tough. So you want to kind of moderate the size before you harvest it. You know, tennis ball size, probably ideal on that. Next one is ground cherries. This is kind of a new one to a lot of people.
Yeah, ground cherries. I like them. You don't like them as much. But they are related to the – they're kind of a close relative to the tomatillo, and it's considered a husk tomato. But it doesn't have that very distinct tomato flavor. To me, it's more of like a sweeter dessert-type flavor, and then they have the husk on the outside. I think they're delicious.
Kind of a taste of a pineapple. To a certain distinct end. And the way you harvest is they're ground cherries. They have a husk, and when they are harvested or when they're ready to harvest, they fall to the ground. So you got to be there to pick them up. Otherwise, the squirrels and the birds are going to get them before you do. So if you're new to a lot of these, like kohlrabi, you can get at organic garden store, organic grocery store, ground cherries, farmers markets. Next one, which is celery, you can grow in your own backyard. It can be done very well. You can get the starts from your garden center. It's not going to be like you would buy at the grocery store. These are more of a loose bundle, not a tight wound bundle of celery that you can grow.
But I just want to forewarn people.
Yeah.
If you don't like celery,
well,
like,
don't grow it.
Then don't grow it, but definitely don't grow this because it's like extra celery tasting celery.
Well, you buy celery from the store. Where does it come from? 1,500 miles and probably 3 to 5 days after harvest. This stuff is, it's just like garlic. The garlic in the store is so tainted and so weak compared to your garden grown garlic. So some things that are a little different that you may consider growing, some may be easy to find, others may be a little more of a challenge. Well, Holly, it is warming up soon. It will be spring. Spring may already be here in some parts of the country. And you want to enjoy your yard without sharing it with beetles and grubs.
Yeah, with spring just around the corner, it's time to start thinking about controlling the beetles and grubs in your garden or your yard. Japanese beetles are just around the corner.
Grub Gone can be applied to the turf, garden, or around ornamentals to lessen the impact that grubs and beetles have on you this summer. And now is the best time to start applying it. Biologically specific, targeting grubs and beetles, invaders without harming those beneficial insects that you want in your garden, such as bees, butterflies, and ladybugs.
And to be honest, it's the only non-chemical that works. You can find out more at phylumbioproducts.com. That's PHYLLOM. Bioproducts.com. For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.